Hey, Gundamaniacs, welcome to the Gundam Explained show live. This is episode 160, pretty crazy, and it is August 8th, getting ever closer to not only our birthdays, including Kyle, which is crazy, but wild. Also Gundam Breaker 4. But what's cooler, Gundam Breaker 4 or our birthdays? What do you think?
Well, I guess the coolest thing would be if the three of us sync up on our birthday and play Gundam Breaker 4.
There you go. That's what it's got to be, guys. Sometime late August, we're going to have some sort of birthday shindig to just celebrate and play and do whatever. Good to have another episode of the live show. Seeing everyone in chat already, Xionic Shadow, WD30th, King Dylan. Good to see you guys. Curious. Breaking... Gundam Battlelog will be streaming at 4:15 at the Gundam Info YouTube channel. Okay, real quick. I saw that before, but is it just the episodes from last year? Or is that new info to you?
That's new to me. Although this is an awesome thing. Like, maybe we need some kind of like Chiron ticker at the bottom of the Gundam Explained show where like we have breaking news. Because how many times are we streaming like right as a right as a P Bandai drop is going on?
I think I could like literally do that. Like, it's just the time it takes to do it. So let's, look at that. Breaking news.
Awesome.
So for those that are just listening and not watching, the software I'm using allows me to type stuff at the top, but then it takes time to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
this is why we need a producer.
I know, right? but this
that was, is awesome.
That was fun to kind of mess with. So for today's show, there's going to be a lot of nonsense like normally, but we will talk about some Gunpla releases that people are anticipating, because I get to a point where I stop building and then I don't want to look at new stuff coming out because it's like, I'm just going to buy it and put it in my backlog. Even I have that 88 Zeta.
Oh yeah.
I need to build that. And then I saw some new stuff come. I'm like, oh my God, there's so many cool suits coming out. So
it's perfect because today that meme dropped where it was like, hey guys, check out the Gunpla I just bought. I can't wait to build it. And it's like the dude pushing the Ark of the Covenant Indiana Jones.
I saw that today too. That's funny.
Perfect timing because
Okay. So is that a new meme then? It just happened.
It's new to me.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it either. Hey, it's new to meme. Get it?
There we go.
I don't know. To start, what are some Gundam-related stuff we got into this week? I'll start if I need to give you time. IBO, Iron-Blooded Orphans, at episode 7, that was a lot of fun. That was... I've learned a lot watching this series. One is all the commenters through the years that have posted, you need to watch IBO, you need to cover IBO. You're absolutely right, okay? Because it is, and that's the other thing. This is like a good show. It does the typical anime, tropey anime things, but on top of that, it's like a really cool sci-fi series where they're establishing the characters in the world they're in, and it seems like every little thing that comes up somehow relates or it gets called back to. This last episode on episode 7 was a different episode in terms of tone compared to most, because it was all like schlocky, like crazy action, I would say the beginning of the 00 movie, but I don't think you saw that.
No, I didn't make it to the movie.
Okay, because like the beginning of the 00 movie is a movie in universe and everything, the animation is wild. And I was like, wow, are they really going this far? But it was just for the movie. Anyway,
that's cool.
So that's what's so cool about that episode 7 of IBO. It was just schlocky, just mecha anime fun, establishing some new characters. And so the other thing too is I will watch and review an episode one a week. Sometimes I'll skip a week, but taking my time watching a show, it feels like the old days. And I feel like it gives me more time to connect with what I just saw.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's we've talked about it before where, you know, when you binge content, typically you kind of forget things as you're going through it, which is kind of counterintuitive. You'd think like, okay, if I watch everything, you know, sit down and watch it all straight in a row, you know, then it's all still fresh in my head and like I don't have to recall things from last week. But it's kind of the opposite. Like you start to call back like, oh, wait, I do remember that from last week. But I don't know. Do you ever have that experience? Like, you know, if you're binging a show, like, you know, just either by yourself or with your wife or something, like you'll start not remembering characters' names or yep. not like
it's true. It's in I relate this to like video games. If I rush through and play a video game, sometimes I won't remember some of the experiences like, oh, did I play that game? It's like, yeah, I remember I rushed through it. And I think it's the same thing. Like you don't have the time to really take it in.
You know what it is it's the difference between the short-term memory and long-term memory in your brain. Cause like isn't there that whole theory about like you need to sleep, but, and this is why they yeah. advise you to sleep on things before you make decisions is because when you sleep, that's when you convert short-term memory into long-term memory. And so like,
yeah. And a practice that I do because people that I've looked up to seem to recommend this is right before you go to sleep, just quickly just go through your day just randomly. Like, okay, I ate this then. And then I talked with so-and-so because it's like you're saying you're helping kind of digest that short-term into long-term for, yeah, when you sleep on it. And it's the same with Battlestar Galactica because I will usually only watch one episode a night, and even then I might go a couple nights without. And so when I go back, it's just that much more, wow, I can't wait to see what happens next. It's like, oh yeah, all this was going on. Yeah, so what's going to happen next? And I recommend that if you can have the patience to watch a show, yeah, take your time.
Yeah, it's so much more rewarding.
And I wonder if Acolyte would have been better that way. Probably not, because even well, actually, because it was actually released one at a time, but it was just so few episodes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there was only eight, six or seven. Or eight.
Or seven. Yeah, that's right. So that's interesting because they had a lot of filler and could have just made it a movie.
Which is interesting. I've heard a lot of shows recently are kind of taking what could be like four episode miniseries and then stretching them out into like eight episodes seasons. Yeah. Like I heard the same thing about House of the Dragon. I haven't watched it personally
be honest, I watched the first episode of House of the Dragon of the first my wife actually was like, okay, that's pretty interesting. But for me, I was like, I don't know, because I can tell what this is. This is a family drama. And so I was like, I get it. But no, that is interesting because it reminds me of a lot of other prestige television. When the episodes are short and the series is short, it's like nothing really happens.
Yeah.
Or when things do, they're unremarkable. It's interesting. It's almost like because I'm thinking just in my mind right now, the difference between watching Battlestar Galactica, Acolyte, and IBO. And it really is, if you're doing a movie and you're doing a series, I feel like you have to be very careful with the pacing of the narrative.
Oh, yeah.
And
you can get yourself into a corner. Dan Harmon talks about this when it comes to like, you know, when he was writing Community or Rick and Morty, where it was like, you know, he goes off of like the story circle is what he calls it, but it's based on Joseph Campbell's, you know, hero's journey. And so what's interesting about both of those shows and like Gundam, for instance, is that you have like this overarching story that kind of covers the entire season, right? But each episode has to have its own circle, its own story that like basically ties everything up at the end of every story, you know, kind of returning everybody to the status quo that the episode started in. And I don't know about you, but I noticed that a lot of, like you said, these prestige television shows, you'll have episodes where just it seems like nothing happens because either the stakes are too low or they're trying to like fill in details about the overarching narrative. And, you know, I just think that that's a huge kind of missed opportunity because, you know, you look at a show like 1979 Gundam and like the Miharu arc where, you know, you've got we all know that, you know, the white base is trying to move through, you know, the continent so that they can get to Jabro and everything. And that Char's, or well, no, at this point, it's not Char chasing them. It's it would have been
Black Tri-Stars.
Yeah. The Black Tri-Stars.
Yeah.
But, you know, then you have this kind of micro story that helps inform the larger world with this girl who's spying for Zeon. And then, you know, this creates this character drama around Kai. That is something that, like, yeah, you just don't see in like these Disney Plus or Netflix shows.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And that kind of actually helps me more with this Acolyte conundrum, because that's what it is. This episode of IBO I watched, because I explained it how, oh, it's different pacing, tone's different, because it was its own self-contained experience that didn't have to connect, even though it informs. Whereas, yeah, you're watching an episode of The Acolyte, and it's almost like you were saying, where it kind of extends this sort of thing we're waiting to happen, or we just get a recap, and it's like, okay, you know, so yeah, that.
Yeah, and that's where like a really hackneyed show would drop in either a flashback episode or a musical episode. That's when you know that the writers are out of creativity. Oh, it's like, yeah. Oh crap, we have 8 more episodes to fill in. We're at episode 6. Nothing's going to happen. So let's just do a flashback episode, or let's do a musical episode.
Yeah.
This character got knocked out. They're in a coma, and they're going to imagine that everyone is singing to them. Like, I don't know.
No, you're exactly right. And I think that's the difference too with like filler. You know, I've in the past complained about filler, but now I understand that filler can be good and filler can be bad. Yeah, the bad filler is where you don't really know where to go with a story, so you have to come up with some gimmick.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, that's good stuff. Let me ask you then, what anything Gundam related you got into?
Yeah, so yesterday, I don't have it at my desk anymore, but I showed off what I am thinking is going to be the project that I'm going to submit for the next, you know, build competition that I'm a part of, which is the Zeta Plus C1 Hummingbird. Every time I'm going to mess that up.
But it's a Gundam name.
It's a Gundam name, exactly. But yeah, you know, I took the Zeta Plus C1, the P-Bandai one, that's built. I've got the S Gundam booster unit that has like the giant the booster. Oh, yeah, pack.
That's right. That's
so that's going to be a fun project, because I'm going to do some painting. I'm going to do some LED wiring on it. We'll see how it turns out.
Yeah. And and to bring it back up, because I forgot yesterday's show, we had Kyle on, which was fun, because if you guys don't know, we have the Monday show on Free Speech Geek with Kyle, Steven, and I. So we talk about things. I know sometimes even here we don't talk about Gundam, but it's even more beyond this. Actually, yours yesterday was interesting because there's the Right to Repair.
Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. We talked some video game stuff, but like this Monday we were talking about X-Men with Kyle, which was very cool. Chris Riley.
Chris Riley. That's right. Really cool guy. Awesome. Creative, like in his own little like interesting niche.
Super positive dude. And honestly, he had some great advice for people who are trying to, you know, form a business around their passion or around their hobby. So, and I know that speaks to a lot of people in our shared audiences. Like, you know, all of us are trying to find out, like, okay, you know, how can I build a business or build a community around Gundam, around Gunpla, around these things that I'm interested in? And that's something that Chris Riley has been able to do, not just once, but like repeatedly, like creating communities and hosting panels with like the voice actors from the 90s X-Men cartoon. And it's like,
that's awesome.
And he was just a fan, you know, like now he's plugged into this community of talent. And it's like, you know, how do you achieve that? Well, Chris Riley answered those questions for us.
I know, that's what was so great about listening to him. You could hear that enthusiasm, like he's a fan being into that stuff. Yeah, that was, you know, it's made me think I would love to put on a convention. And I use that name Gundamania for stuff, which would be fun. I mean, I don't know if you're allowed to use that, but it would, the idea though for a Gundam style convention would be really to showcase, you know, what people have built, but at the same time, it would be cool to have like just a big lounge where Gundam is being shown and people can either build kits or play video games, you know, because that's kind of the fun part of it. It's like doing the thing while hanging out with people.
Yeah, and I think that idea has some legs, and we should definitely keep talking about the idea of a Gundam-centric convention in the U.S. because, as far to my knowledge, and you know, chat, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that there is any kind of Gundam-specific convention in the United States.
Right. Yeah, and, I was trying to find some, and I think it's interesting because with it being Gundam specific, the idea is to cross over all the fun things about that, and it's the model building, the video games, watching the shows, etc.
Yeah, the cosplaying, like all of it.
Yeah, yeah, the cosplaying too. That stuff is fun. But yeah, so another thing I wanted to move on to. Speaking of Gunpla, so I've been playing the game Metal Slug, not Metal Gear. I know you're still waiting for that, but
I put on the hat specifically to So yeah, for those of you listening, I am in fact wearing my my Foxhound hat.
That's awesome, and I've been meaning to play a Metal Gear Solid 5 because Steven keeps bringing up all these interesting gameplay like elements and things that are of interest to me. So it's like, yeah. I need to do it. But no, I mean,
it inspired Helldivers, and I know you like Helldivers.
Exactly. Yeah. I've been playing a lot of Metal Slug because they came out with the new free to play Awakening.
Yeah.
And you know, through all the mobile stuff, it's actually pretty fun. And then it made me want to go back and play the other ones, but also that there's model kits out there. Here's one for instance. Oh, this is the Slug tank. For those that can't see what's going on. One interesting thing about it is it's very similar to building Gunpla. It's got the runners and all that. Though the plastic is of like a higher quality than...
Interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. And even within that, there was, depending on what element it was, and I know it's hard to see some of this stuff, it would be different... And they do this in Gunpla, different materials of plastic that's used depending on what it is.
Sure, yeah.
And this one, which is my favorite, is the mech from Metal Slug 3. It even has a pilot.
Oh, that is so sick.
The really cool thing, though, and I think it's going to be hard to show off, I'm trying to get a good angle, is this in the front where the yellow is.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a neat type of sticker that I haven't seen on any Gundam Gunpla. It's a very thin sticker, as if you could see through it.
Oh, interesting.
It also already had the bolts colored on there, and they're molded in. So I just simply pushed it on here, and it is hard to see because of the size. Maybe with the shadow, you could see. And it's also made to go around the edges, so the edge and within. It's almost like a painted on color correcting sticker, but done better than I have ever seen in a Gunpla.
Interesting.
I feel like Bandai needs to start including these types, and it's a similar sticker that's here and here.
Yeah,
I could be pushing it on a little more, but it's a thinner type of material that really just paints on.
I like the sound of that because, I mean, one of the, I guess, the things that I can't stand about the color corrective stickers is that typically they are at least like, you know, 3/4 of a millimeter thick. And so you've got that almost like drop off where the sticker meets the plastic.
Yeah. Yeah. There's all those little things. It's very interesting. And so one of the model kits, the tank just came with water slides, and it was this, which is actually from the Metal Slug X line. This is from the Metal Slug 3 line, and it came with water slides and these color correcting stickers. It's quite amazing how good a quality, and it's actually a Chinese manufacturer as well, but how good the quality was of these. And that they came with other than the pilot, it came with like little minifigures, so it broke apart, but it's hard to see. And you could, I just have to paint them, but it's interesting because they're kind of a rubbery.
So that could, I mean, that's cool because, like, obviously they're a little more durable being that rubbery material, but I guess that might be an issue when you're painting them. They might, like, you know, be easier to chip.
So I'd have to probably be careful about the type of, that's right, because that's interesting because I'll see them online painted. So it's like, okay, so people are obviously painting these pretty well. But yeah, it would probably depend on the material type of paint and maybe a finish I'm putting on top.
Yeah, definitely. And for those of you listening, I mean, the scale of these guys is pretty tiny. I mean, those figures look almost like Lego minifigs in terms of scale.
Yeah, that's, I would say that's about the size, or like Lego minifigures.
The tank is pretty tiny. Like,
yeah, almost a little bigger than like a Gachapon style, like Gundam.
Yeah, thing, exactly. Which is
what this reminds me of, because I've talked about it on here before, where one of the earliest memories I have of getting like a Gachapon toy was what ended up being from Macross, but it was like a gray little mech I built.
That's awesome. I love that scale, honestly. Like, there's something.
Yeah. I do too. I love it when there's things that small, but that's what she said. But no, God, Adam, why? What was funny though, from my video where I was going over that IBO episode 7, in there I talked about that model kit that I had built, not knowing it was from this series. It was just, I built it. Yeah, 2015. It was my first like getting a kit. Well, not my first kit, but my first like trying to find a mecha thing to get into. And it's funny how that didn't work. I didn't know it was Gundam, but it also didn't work because it wasn't the V-Fin. Isn't that some weird, interesting psychology? In universe, but out universe.
It goes back to the conversation we were having yesterday about, you know, all of the Gundam AUs and how, like, you know, a lot of these Gundam AUs work better as if they were just generic sci-fi. But if they were just generic sci-fi, you wouldn't have the viewership that would make them popular. So, like, IBO, for instance, I think that IBO is, like, a great series. I mean, the ending, we'll see what you think about the ending.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when you slap the name Gundam on it and you attach the weight and the baggage that comes with being part of a franchise to something like that, then you automatically like taint the expectations of it. And so, yeah, when you've got something like the Gundam Barbatos, which is your protagonist mobile suit, what would you call that? Like it's not the titular mecha the way that like the Zeta Gundam is the titular mecha of the Zeta Gundam, but suffice to say, you look at the Barbatos and then you look at like the RX-78 and you're like, these do not fit in the same canon. They don't fit in the same universe, and they're not meant to ultimately. But
yeah, it's interesting how Japan can come out with these very, like, I call it like serious hard sci-fi stories that can be dark.
Yeah.
But as Gundam, because there's sometimes I will try to watch some sci-fi series, anime, and I just can't get into it. So I wonder if psychologically, it being Gundam, I'm like, okay, yeah,
something to it.
But no, but that's interesting, because I will watch a Gundam show and admit if I like it or not, or what I actually feel about it. So it's really a good sign how much I am enjoying IBO.
Definitely.
I would even say, like, as much as I like Gundam 00, which I think you need a rewatch.
I'll give it another try.
If IBO keeps going down the path it is, I will like IBO more than Gundam 00.
I think so too. I mean, once you hit the turbines, like you have, like, that's just such a cool group. Like,
yeah, I liked that, you know, the morality play came in as soon as that Maruba guy mentioned putting the kids on the Valet Vinyana. Did I just say it? Sounded like I said it. I don't know. Filet mignon, I think.
Filet mignon. Yeah. But no, I mean, I love that out of the gate you get that, you know, that cyber new type.
Storyline.
That storyline, right?
Story.
Because that becomes one of the, you know, the main sort of sources of conflict in that series. And when you look at like something like the original Gundam, where the idea of, I mean, I suppose you could argue that the idea of sticking a 15-year-old kid in a giant war machine is probably some form of of torture. The Alea Vinyana from IBO is probably a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's interesting. I like how it could be different, but the same.
Same.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. So now, real quick, what I want to do is we're going to look at what are some potentially upcoming mobile suits, Gumpla kits. Sorry, it's like I'm multitasking and I'm having a stroke. doing it. Let's see. I wanted to do it like.
Ooh, excellent.
Okay, I guess that works. Okay. So, well, actually, I do want to make it a little bigger. Okay, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
So, first of all, there's this high-grade Murasame Kai, and this is what I posted because, I forget what I was doing. I was searching for something, and then I came across this, and I was like, I can't wait for this to come out.
Same here.
And it's
so it's excited.
Weird. Yeah, because it's in the fall. And yep. So it's like, man, this could have coincided with the release of the movie. But I guess part of it, too, is keeping some Mobile Suit Design secret.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so after that, I'm just kind of thinking, okay, what else is coming? So I wanted to ask from Big Bear 0288YT, the Murasame is going to be so awesome. Probably my favorite new design from Gundam Seed Freedom, apart from maybe the Rising Freedom, which that one looks cool too. I mean, the model kits are really cool anyway. Yeah. And then, so yeah, your thoughts on the Murasame, kind of the same as mine.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the Seed Zeta, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
So I have to love it. But no, I also, you know, and this kind of goes to most of the designs in Seed, is like the grunt suits in Seed look fantastic. Like,
yes.
And this has that grunt suit aesthetic. It looks more like one of the Astray Gundams than something like, you know, the Freedom or the Justice, that, like, you know, those tend to be a little bit more aggressive in their design style. This is kind of scaled back. It's very
very, you know, UC.
I could see this in UC.
Yeah, and you know, another interesting thing is with Seed, I feel like it gave artists the opportunity to, like, I guess repicture UC mobile suit design. Like, it's like, yeah, just take and run the UC mobile suit design, but like, how would you just slightly enhance it? So it doesn't, so that way they can design cool UC style suits without it conflicting with the UC.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I think I get at the end of the day from Seed, is that style design. Definitely. All right. So Zero. I just pre-ordered the Metal Robot Spirits Barbados and bought the Metal Robot Spirits Tall Geese 2. Excited for the day that they finally released the metal version of Sandrock, my favorite of all time, and Heavy Arms. Yeah, because they've gone through... thanks, by the way, for bringing up Metal Robot Spirits. Because I love that line. They have a Barbados coming out, which then I might get that if the series is still grabbing me. But...
Now, this is an interesting, I don't know which Barbatos form it is that the new Metal Robot Spirits is.
Yeah. And people can correct me, but from what I understand, it can do it where it's like all of them.
Oh, man. I mean, if it can go like all the way through the transformation line of the Barbatos, then that thing should be like $400.
So, well, 180. First through fourth form version.
Okay.
Is there four forms?
I think it goes up to six or seven.
Oh.
And then that's when you start getting into like the Barbatos Rex, the Barbatos Lupus Rex, and all that wild stuff.
Well, I have a lot to get into then.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think
the fourth form is like that's the peak.
Okay. Because, yeah. I mean, this looks great. Like, even where you can see the gold
on it.
And 180 for, oh my gosh. UI. These people need to. Okay.
I know the hover stuff is not good. Web designers, stop doing it.
Yeah, I know. Let's see. And that's right, because with Crunchyroll, I found out you get some pretty good discounts if you're subscribed.
Yeah, that's.
I actually canceled the other day because I was like, I don't think there's anything I'm going to watch soon. So let me save some money for a couple months.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's like both Disney Plus and Crunchyroll are trying to move in on Amazon's model, right? Because Amazon, the Prime, everyone's subscribed to Amazon Prime, not because they care about the Prime programming, but because they want the 2-day shipping and, you know, that perk that comes with it. having Amazon Prime for the shows is like, all right, I guess so, you know, they're there. But then everybody who was watching stuff on Crunchyroll and Disney Plus, it's like now Disney Plus does the same thing where it's like you get a discount on the Disney store if you have a subscription. So it's like they're trying to tease that market a little bit, but I don't know. That's a bit of a tangent. I apologize for the
No, but that's a good one, because like a lot of times when I'm bringing these kits up, it's like, where should we buy them? And I think if you have a Crunchyroll subscription, that's a good deal. But also, and I forget the URL off the top of my head, but if you check the link in the description for P-Rex, you P-Rex can also Hobby. Use that if you want to order. There's a URL for Gundam Explained.
Absolutely.
And the good thing about that is they ship to Canada, because I think they're Canadian anyway. So it
just they're based in Vancouver, and that's one of the few outlets you can get P Bandai in Canada.
Yeah.
And you'll pay a little bit of a premium, but definitely not as much as when I bought an Ifrit Noct for a friend of mine up in the Great White North, and then I had to spend double the cost of the kit to ship it to him.
I know it. That's crazy. That's why that site is a good spot for that, for people needing to buy across, you know, the smuggling your Gunpla. All right.
You don't need a coyote.
So Dr. Jim Eagle can hardly wait for that MG Stormbringer PF cluster gun, PF, or then cluster Gundam is also wild to see after all these years. Let's look that up real quick. Stormbringer, so I think, sounds familiar.
Yeah, the Stormbringer, I think that's a recolor or repaint or re-release, something like that.
Okay, which looks great. And I think this is something it's like not in UC, right? But it's just like a side thing.
I don't remember if it's a build thing or not. But I mean, the Stormbringer itself has been
build
a few different. Yeah.
It's a
sweet design.
It looks great. Really cool design. All right. And then that other one, Cluster Gundam.
That's F90, isn't it?
Oh, yep. So let's look at that real quick. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I have a soft spot for the F90 to F91, you know, designs, because, you know, in universe, it's like a new company doing the development, and outside universe just went. It's just neat how that time in anime kind of changing animation and all that.
I gotta hand it to F91. Is the animation is that peak early 90s anime that's like, you know, it's very well rendered and just looks fantastic.
It's like timeless.
Yeah,
it's almost like that is the aesthetic itself, you know.
Yeah, I mean, people are so nostalgic for that, like there are entire Instagram accounts and YouTube channels based around just like that type of animation.
And I think, you know, that sort of thing started with Akira, you know, that sort of animation, because even that came out at the same time as Shark's Counterattack, and they look different.
I mean, yeah. I think that Akira animation wise probably looks better than Shark's Counterattack, like just the level of detail and the frames that they were able to pack into it. So, I mean,
there's something with the, especially when it's like pressure, like a force, like gust of wind in the fabric, how it moves. It's this repetitiveness that is done in Akira. It's similar to what we see in F91. Yeah, during that time with fabric and like the force of things moving and the repeated frames. Yeah, very well done during that time period. All right. So Thomas Dean, 2099, we've only seen the arms in a different high grade, but some prototype has already been shown. I don't know when, but what I'm looking forward to in the future will be the high grade Psycho Gundam Mark II. Yeah, I've heard that too, because there's that kit released recently that had parts for it potentially. So the Zeus, and isn't that what we're talking about?
Or is that I think so, right? Isn't that the giant red monstrosity?
Let's see. Oh, no. Or I was pulling up something from... Oh, sorry, I'm not sharing. From...
G Gundam.
Yeah, G Gundam. So, Maybe that's something that's coming soon because of all the G Gundam kits.
That's true. Yeah, they've almost completed the Shuffle Alliance, right?
Let's see. Yeah, the Murasame Kai is giving me Macross vibes with the underwing weapons. Aegis, Full Mechanics, Chaos, Abyss, and Gaia. Now, what's that from?
Those are from Seed.
Oh, okay. Oh, and they're getting the Full Mechanics, which is like 100 scale, right? But not like Master Grade?
I think it's, yeah, it is 100 scale, but I think it's supposed to be better than Master Grade in terms of like, you know, detail and quality goes.
Oh, that's actually pretty cool. Fat Tiger, though I'm not really into 144 kits, I'm interested in the Real Grade 2.0. I'm kind of a sucker for RX-78 kits, and I do want to get the Real Grade Zeong, and this kit would go great with it.
Yeah.
I need to pre-order that if I haven't yet. Is that supposed to be coming out soon, the 2.0 Real Grade?
Yeah, that definitely comes out this month. I remember because I was telling my wife, I was like, look, if you get me something for my birthday, I don't want anything, but if you do, Real Grade 2.0. Which, can we talk for a minute about how absolutely terrible it is that they came out with that Real Grade last shooting with the Zeong and the Real Grade RX-78 right before the RX-78-2 is announced and rolls out.
Oh, like, is that how they do it? Yeah, that I did not notice, but that I've seen that happen. What was it? Like, even with the Penelope, Robot Spirits, they just came out with a third version, or the last one I got was the third one.
Yeah.
Like after one without decals, one with optional decals, and then now, yeah, it's.
And it's like one is the novel version versus the anime version.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, man. Yeah, because there's that Kasai Gundam IP Bandai, and it's like $300. I can't do that, but I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, it was Seed version of Delta Plus. Oh, the Murasame. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, even Santo Bell, yeah, Murasame, I have two coming so I could display in both forms. Good idea. The EX is another, and the new Real Grade RX. Yeah, I can't wait for the Gundam EX from Requiem for Vengeance. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, well, I'll probably get that Solari Zaku, but...
Yes. Yes, which apparently we were talking about it a little bit on that show we did Monday, but Santo Bell came back, you know, shout out to Santo Bell with some more info. He was even saying that, like, the Solari has its upgraded form, and it's supposed to take on a wolf. Now, that might have been obvious, but I didn't realize it.
Interesting. Yeah. I guess now the command horns make much more sense.
Yeah.
Because it was like, what are these, like, rabbit ears? But no, it's like a wolf, the red wolves, right? That's the...
Yeah, that's pretty neat. And then even, like, the way it has the tank tracks, or... tank treads as armor almost makes it look like fur, like, because you're seeing like that, you know, consistent detail.
I would be interested to see, because the high grade version of the Solari is pretty much the stripped down, like the stock version of the Zaku, but then it was is it the Gundam Universe figure that has the tank treads on it? I wonder if the high grade is going to have, you know, option parts that will...
I think they announced it was another kit.
Oh, it's a whole second other K.
I think so. We could be corrected, but I think that's what it was. So, you know, I'm curious, you know, and it could be because that is the main character of, but would the EX get an upgraded form? And it might not, because it might be where that's not the story.
Right, because typically there's the mid-season upgrade for the protagonist. Well, if it's a Leon story, then the mid-season upgrade is the Zaku 2 becoming the Zaku Wolf, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, which is cool. It's very interesting.
I love it.
Mr. J-Hound 4, a high-grade Black Knight squad. Yeah, like from Seed. Yeah, that's Freedom. That stuff looks great.
It does.
Cluster Gundam, Gundam EX, Murasame Kai, all good answers. So that's cool. I'm starting to see all the things that I'm even thinking is some of the coolest stuff. I guess a lot of us are waiting for this stuff. Eli ZT6 GD. It is a hit and miss for me on this kit. Awesome new design and better articulation, but it turned into a parts former, while the first high grade can actually transformer without replacing any parts. Yeah, that's the thing. In the description, I did notice it said it comes with like parts for creating the other version, which.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they'll maybe come out with a Metal Robot Spirits version that actually does the transformation.
Maybe I would doubt it. I mean, typically those high grades and like the 1/144th scale, they have been getting away from doing full transformations. Like, for instance, with the because I have that 1991 Zeta that can transform. Like, literally, the only thing you do is take off the head and the rest of it, it transforms without any parts forming. But the articulation on it is pretty bad. And typically, that's what you're going to get with a transformer. But, you know, it's like you look at the Zeta Revive, and that thing has fantastic poseability, but then you have to use a parts former to get the. So, I don't know.
And the ones that seem to transform well are ones that actually don't have complex transformations, like the Wing Gundam, the Metal Robot Spirits transforms easily. I love how that is like, well, it's technically easier to do.
I mean, even like, have you transformed your real grade Epion yet?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, I mean, the legs folding over the top like that. There's so many things that could go wrong in the waist of that, like the articulation of the waist due to that kit.
It seems like they had it engineered just right to give it that extra articulation it needs to do that. They had to plan that out. And then last here is from Anime Guy 2099. Where is the Ares high grade Bandai? And I guess that's from Wing.
Yeah. Amen, Anime Guy. I'm waiting for that one too. The Ares is by far my favorite suit from Wing.
Okay. Yeah. I hear about that a lot, but,
That would be an easy transformation to do because it's like just the legs fold up.
Okay. Yeah. And I want to say, that's one when I was watching Wing that I found to be one of the cooler looking suits in general. Okay. So I got another sort of tip, hint, rumor. I don't know how much it's true, and it seems like a big thing, so I'm not going to say who told me just in case they are wrong and they get ridiculed. But
no, you're going to get ridiculed instead.
Yeah, now I will. But that the high grade 2.0 design is supposed to be in line with the live action movie design. I mean, I hear that and I'm like, that's awesome, but how true? That would be too good to be true.
Yeah, it would be because I mean, because I love the design of the 2.0. Like I think we talked about it when they just announced it and kind of showed off like the computer generated images of the kit. I was like, it's got a little bit more bulk to it. It's a little chunkier.
Which is in line. I was going over the concept art and it's in line with how they were doing the face part. Around here, the more bulbous part of the face and the shoulders were a little bigger than the classic. And it's like, those are similar. So if we just look at the facts here, look at the facts. IMDb says it's a faithful adaptation. The concept art looks like the RX-78-2, at least from the chest up. So if we're to look at facts, this movie, if it's happening, is looking to be an adaptation of 0079.
That would make no one happier than me.
That's what I think is crazy. Like that's what I am waiting for. And it's, I cannot wait for that news. Now that's the thing. So what have we got coming up? So we're in August now. We've had, let's see, the Seed Freedom movie at the beginning of the year. So coming up, we have Requiem for Vengeance, but also the Battle Log is, from what we're hearing, it's even up right now on YouTube.
Yeah, airing right now.
From what I understand, it's, the episode's from last year, which the other thing was this could have been, what I'm trying to get at is Gundam Breaker 4 is being released soon, so probably tying that in. And from what I understand, this
Silver Phantom.
And then Silver Phantom. So that's another thing because, where is it? There's going to be, where is it? August 23rd at Anime NYC at the Bandai Namco Filmworks panel. They're going to have, they're going to be showing it. They're going to have a demo that's been shown for the first time. Sweet. So, And it's funny, I already have it pre-ordered because in, you know, I got a Quest 3 recently, and in the, like, and it's not expensive. It's $15. And I think we talked about it where it's like being cheap. It's like, oh, if it's this cheap, what is it really? But my thought is being that cheap, it allows more people
accessibility. To- yeah.
So, yeah, so then that's what we've got coming up for the it's mainly in the rest of August. We have our birthdays coming up, probably do a special event for that because we've got Gunbreaker coming out later this month anyway. So maybe we'll coincide that because if you're interested in Gunbreaker 4 until then, there is the next open beta test, network test coming up. And then I think that's about it. And, you know, I don't really have anything else to talk about. I mean, we can cut this show a little short.
Well, I was going to say, you know, and I've been queuing this question up is, and sorry to put you on the spot, but, you know, we're halfway through the year.
Yeah.
We've got all of the announcements, I think, for all of the Gunpla that we're going to get for the rest of the year. I don't think that there's going to be any new surprises coming, you know, for November and December. How would you rate 2024 compared to 2023 in terms of Gunpla figures, all that good stuff? Because I think we kicked off the year kind of reviewing 2023 as far as Gunpla releases go.
I would actually say this year's been great, especially because the re-releases on P Bandai. We've got suits that I was trying to get last year on eBay, spending more, have been re-released on P Bandai. Even the Advance of Zeta line continues to see a resurgence for normal price this year on P Bandai. Like, that's what makes P Bandai awesome. You could buy all these Advanced Zeta kits like for normal price. So I would say it's just gotten better because they are consistently re-releasing kits people want, and they have those long windows to get them.
Yeah. I'm inclined to agree because, I mean, this year alone, I've picked up, what, another 0088 Zeta, which was a re-release.
Oh, yeah.
The Varguil, which was a re-release. One new one, I guess, is the G-Line from 0081. Now, I pre-ordered it last year, but the Zaku Surface Type from Kukuru's Doan's Island, that came in this year. So even though the Zeta Verka came out last year, I'm inclined to say that this year was has been a lot better as far as releases go.
I think so too, especially considering like the Destiny or Destiny Freedom, the Seed Freedom kits.
Oh yeah, well, and even just the other Seed kits like the Destroy Gundam coming out. the Real Grade 2.0 obviously coming out in August. Yeah.
And the Zeta Ver anime line of Robot Spirits, which is to me like my favorite line that's coming out. I have Quattro's and what's the other guy's name?
Oppoli or Roberto?
Oh, I don't know which one, but it's a Rick Diaz. It's a gray one. So
okay.
I guess it could be whoever's. You would actually have to buy two of those. Dang it. No.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, so that's the thing. There's all the Zeta Ver anime Robot Spirits coming out this year. Yeah, it is badass when it comes to the collectibles, I think.
I think so too. And that's, you know, not to say that that's what I wanted to hear, but I was like, that's what I expected to hear.
Yeah.
But, I wanted to get your thoughts on that because obviously, you know, and now do you think that it's, our bias is coming from the fact that obviously we like that there are all these re-releases. So if you took the re-releases out of the equation, do you think that 2024 still holds up?
I think so because the Freedom kits, just because even though it's Seed, I built a couple of them. Yeah, we have, and they're like really good. Like it's just fun, high grade kits. So
yeah, and they keep pushing pushing the boundaries of what they can do with the high grade line. So
yeah.
Now RIP to the RE100 line. No,
I know. Which, yeah, you got me excited to go find some more. I would say, Steven, even though you're not a big F91 guy or Victory, try to find the Gun EZ. Yeah, Victory.
Oh, yeah.
RE100 Gun EZ. Awesome kit. awesome kit.
Sweet.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Thanks for coming up with a little bit more that we could talk about there at the end. But no, really, I guess we've kind of covered everything we're going to cover. I think with Gundam Breaker dropping, there's going to be a lot more stuff we'll be talking about. So that'll
yeah,
be
absolutely. Which so you picked it up on a couple of different consoles, right? Because you're primarily going to be playing on PC.
I'll probably play it on PC, but I bought the special edition on PS5 to get all the stuff because the PC didn't have a special edition. So,
well, and I'd heard that there was a PS4 version of the special edition, but it was like $200 on PlayAsia.
Oh, wow.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. it'll be interesting to see when that kit comes in, because I'll try to build it real quick and do a review of that.
Definitely.
But yeah, that's it. So, hey, everyone, thanks for tuning in. And if you haven't already, check the links, because we got Steven's channel, Midnight Hatter, that I'm live on Wednesdays. And then on Mondays, Free Speech Geek, which I got to double check if I have the link in the description, if I don't. So hopefully I'll see this or hear this and remind myself. And that's on Mondays with Steven, myself, and Kyle. A ton of fun.
Yeah.
But until next time, see y'all later.